How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 210 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page. You can find us on audioboom.com. You can log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays now. Next week, I'm going to Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's draft week. The draft is, this is coming out Thursday morning. So the draft, if you're listening to it on the day it comes out, the draft is a week from today. So I'm going to be doing draft coverage on Monday's podcast, Wednesday's podcast. Friday is going to be a draft wrap-up, so I'm going to have some good guests next week. And today's episode should be fun also. It's the last one I'm doing that isn't a draft podcast before the draft. And I'm having Jared Dubin, who hosts Locked On Knicks. Jared just had surgery, so he's a little bit hung up. He hasn't been doing Locked On Knicks lately because he's been in recovery. But we're doing an impromptu thing. Jared's been doing a series over at Locked On Knicks where a different Locked On host plays GM, and now I'm going to play GM for the Thunder, and we're going to trade for Carmelo Anthony. It may not happen in real life. It probably won't happen in real life because Carmelo Anthony's got no trade clause, and he would have to accept a trade to Oklahoma City, which would not necessarily be in character for the things that he probably values in a place where he wants to play, but we're going to make it happen anyway because it's the June 15th episode, and this is what we do on June 15th. Going to get to Jared in 1 second, and we're going to make that trade for Carmelo Anthony. But before we do, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I've been using it all the time lately for Yankees tickets, or I went to a couple of concerts recently, OKC Dodgers tickets. You can use it for everything. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code LOTHUNDER, that's L-O like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOTHUNDER today. A quick break, and then let's trade for Carmelo Anthony.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Jared. Fred Katz here from Locked On Thunder. Jared Dubin, Locked On Knicks. Ready to make a trade?
Yeah, thank you for doing literally all of the work for this so that I don't have to move out of the bed that I've been in since my surgery at all.
How you feeling?
I'm all right. I can't really do anything, so there's not much to the post-surgical pain sort of subsided, and now it's just a matter of building up my strength and my mobility over the course of, like, forever. I haven't even progressed to my 3 times a week physical therapy yet because I can't do anything there. I just sort of, like, let them stretch me out, which is horrible, and I move up to 3 times a week next week when I can actually do stuff on my own, but the pain's gone. It's just that, you know, all I can do is sit, basically.
Can you confirm that having lower body surgery and being in tons of pain and not being able to work is just merely an ode to the Joakim Noah contract?
I can neither confirm nor deny that accusation. It's I had knee surgery twice, but that was like I could walk within a few days after. Like they gave me a cane, and I was on a cane for a few days. The first time I did it for a week. The second time I tried to ditch it earlier. This time I can't put my leg on the ground still for another couple weeks. So it's going to be a while before I'm back to like regular activities. That's why I only agreed to do this because you're volunteered to do literally everything.
Okay, so since I'm doing everything, I'm gonna because I'm sure you're locked on listener, you're locked on Knicks listeners, know what's going on, know the Trading Melo series, but I'm sure most of my listeners probably aren't aware of it. Can you give a little summary of what we're doing today, what the Trading for Melo thing is about, and what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so basically, Phil Jackson has made it known to everyone and their mother that he would like to trade Carmelo Anthony for basically anything that's triangle-shaped. So I decided that I was going to call up a bunch of the hosts within the network and talk to them about trading Carmelo Anthony to their team. You know, I act as the GM. You act as the GM. I've done this with Locked On Lakers and Locked On Heat so far before I had my surgery, which sort of derailed the plan that I had to trade him all around the league. But basically, we come at it as if we are the GMs, not as if you're Sam Presti and Phil Jackson. So it's basically we sort of take this podcast to talk about where the teams stand, what their goals are, what they might want to get out of a deal for Carmelo Anthony. And through those discussions, we try to come to an agreement on a trade by the end of the podcast.
And before we begin, there are two things I want to say. First off, to get in the Sam Presti mode, I'm currently in an incredibly slick, very fashionable suit right now. And I've got my high top fade rocking, and I'm good to go.
Secondly, I thought you were going to transition into like an Indochino ad right there or something.
That would be good. No, apparently we're just giving Indochino free ads.
I have two of those suits. They can advertise if they want.
There you go. Well, they're on the vertical. They're all over. There are some things that I just like associate with podcasts, you know? Like, I would not really know about that. Like, Omaha Steaks, so podcasty.
Omaha Steaks, definitely on a bunch of podcasts.
Yes, I mean, SeatGeek is the ultimate one, which we've got.
We
but
do.
Every podcast has SeatGeek. You're not a podcast if you have SeatGeek. You're a person sitting in a room by yourself talking to yourself. You don't have a SeatGeek sponsor.
That's true.
That's the difference. The other thing that I want to say is this is two other things I want to say, actually. First off, this is under the assumption, because Carmelo Anthony does have a no-trade clause. I assume, Jared, this is under the assumption that Carmelo Anthony has decided he would waive the no-trade clause to come to Oklahoma City.
I was going to go and say something about that. Like, listen, I don't know if Carmelo would actually waive his no-trade clause to play in Oklahoma City, but we're already operating in a version of reality where I have replaced Phil Jackson as the top decision maker for the Knicks, and you have replaced Sam Presti as the top decision maker for the Thunder. So just like kind of suspend your disbelief a little bit and accept that he has accepted to the fact that he's going to go there.
Right. Well, that's a nice lead in to the third thing I was going to say, which is everyone doesn't. I'm going to say even most people don't do this, but whenever a hypothetical comes up, I get people coming at me on Twitter saying, well, Fred Katz said that this happened, or Fred Katz supposed that this would happen, because they don't separate that, you know, what a report and what just kind of two people having a conversation is. This is not an implication Carmelo Anthony is going to come to the Thunder. This is not a report Carmelo Anthony is going to come to the Thunder. This is merely a podcast on June 15th because there's not that much basketball to talk about when we're more than a week out of the draft.
I disagree. I think that this is a report from Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript who is reporting that the Thunder not only will trade for Carmelo Anthony, but actually already have traded for Carmelo Anthony, and we're just trying to figure out what the deal was.
Yeah, we know they traded for him. We don't know who else is in the deal or what else is in the
deal. That's correct.
And we're just figuring it out from there. Okay. How do we get started? Make the first move. You're the one Eric, am I making the first move? Who's making the first move?
The
Jack Donaghy theory is that you're not supposed to speak first in a negotiation.
Yeah, well, I watched 30 Rock. Jack wasn't that great of a negotiator, all right? So what I'm going to do is give me Russell Westbrook.
Your one-year rental. There is nothing the Knicks could possibly give up that would make me say, sure, Russell Westbrook can head over.
Yeah, I figured we should start there and get that out of the way.
Okay.
So listen, I'm just going to be very upfront with it because this is what I've done on the other two podcasts as well. That what it's going to take to get Carmelo Anthony off of my hands is a combination of three things. Ideally, I'd like to get all three. I would accept two, but if you get down to one, then you're talking about it's got to be a super version of that one thing. The three things that I want are young players with potential, preferably on their rookie contracts. I want salary cap relief, and I want draft picks. Now, looking at the draft pick debt page over at realgm.com, I see that we're going to run into a problem in the draft pick area. You have already traded your 2018 first round pick to the Jazz. It's in the lottery protected in 2018 and 2019 and 2020. You've also traded your 2020 first round pick 2 years or whenever it is 2 years after that Utah pick. So the first pick you can really trade is 2022. Unless we agree to make this deal after the 2017 draft, in which case you can trade me the rights to your number 21 overall selection this year.
Which is something I'm willing to part with pick number 21. If you want
to, that's good because the Knicks are looking to pick up extra picks in this draft, you know, in the actual reality and in the version of reality where I guess James Dolan got drugged or something and I've taken over the team.
Right, and we can make this trade on July 1st, too.
Yes.
Where you know, I draft for you, the trade goes through on July 1st. For those who don't know, you can agree to a deal kind of in principle and then send it through officially on July 1st once the fiscal year starts, and that way you can make it when, like, the Knicks are going to have, about $20 million or so of cap room. Is that about right?
Somewhere around there, depending on what they decide to do. Like if they, you know, renounce Derrick Rose right away, you know, they should have $20 to $24 million, something like that.
Right. So
depending on what they do with their other free agents.
Well, that's your decision here. You can decide to renounce Derrick Rose or create your cap.
I renounce Derrick Rose.
that reminds me of, did you watch The Office?
I did.
That's like when Michael Scott declares bankruptcy.
I declare bankruptcy.
That's all you have to do to renounce a guy. Just scream that you renounce him, and you're good.
That's true.
I'll talk about it. I guess how kind of you laid down your priorities for a deal. I can do mine. I'm not going to say obviously Westbrook's off the table. He's my only guy who is for sure off the table. Steven Adams is someone who I would have serious reservations about giving up in a deal, and his contract extension kicks in next year. It's 4 years and $100 million. And he's someone who I'd have serious reservations about giving up. But there are certain things that could be included in the deal that could make me want to give up. And I'm operating under the assumption that you're not including Porzingis. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm not Phil Jackson. I'm not throwing Porzingis into a deal.
Right. And so, I mean, I guess I'm not going to say for sure nothing if you're going to make a hard play for Adams. I don't know how you feel about Steven Adams, but Steven Adams is not necessarily a guy who I'm feeling like I can include in this deal. He's somebody I want to do. And I would love, since I'd be taking on so much money with Singler, I'd be taking on so much money with Anthony, I would love to be able to unload either Singler and or Kanter, who I actually think might be a fit next to Porzingis.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not necessarily opposed to taking on Singler or Kanter. I would say I am more opposed to taking on Kanter than I am to Singler, simply because of the amount of money there. You know, I feel like the Knicks have, you know, not necessarily quite as good of a version of Kanter, but certainly a significantly lower cost version of Kanter in Billy Hernan Gomez in terms of, you know, what he brings to the table. He's offensively mobile and defensively challenged big man that can probably play about 20 to 25 minutes a game, whether starting or off the bench. Plus, we're paying Joakim Noah $1 billion over the next 4 years or something like that. So I'm not too much looking to pay Kanter, you know, $36, $37 million, whatever it is, over the next two seasons, especially since that second year remaining on his contract after this year is a player option.
For the record, Jared, I don't think it's a guarantee Kanter picks up that player option.
Oh, I meant that, you know, we're only going to take him on for 1 year, and then, like, why am I doing that?
I got you.
You know, Singler is much less money, obviously, over a longer period of time. You know, I would be interested more so in Alex Abrines, who has a short-term, or I guess theoretically long-term, you know, I like that team control, especially with, you know, being able to have his restricted free agent rights at the end of it. You know, similarly with maybe a guy like Doug McDermott, you know, low salary, give me a shooter to play. Those are the kind of salaries I'd be more interested in taking back than Kanter. And this is where we come into the fact that the Thunder are kind of a weird fit with the Knicks, because your guys that are young players with potential, their big extensions kick in next year, Steven Adams and Oladipo. And given the situation the Knicks are in, I don't know that paying Oladipo $84 million over the next 4 years is the best thing for them. So it's something that definitely complicates a potential deal with your team.
So it kind of depends on what – people are kind of all over the place with Oladipo. I mean, I think his general reputation evened out a little bit more this season than it was in Orlando. I think there's a little bit more certainty about what he is and what his future is. I do think he's a better shooter than people thought he was coming into this year. He had a really nice season, catch and shoot. And corner threes, he was like 43%. And catch and shoot, he was 37, 38%. I mean, he had a nice shooting season, but obviously the free throws aren't there. The overall efficiency is average. It's really not great. That being said, I don't think he's as good as he can be. Like, and I don't think that I don't know if he will be as good as he can be if he plays next to Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's the perfect piece next to Russell Westbrook, which is why I said that Adams is the guy who it would be really tough for you to get me to move, and I didn't say that about Oladipo. Mm-hmm. And it's not because...
Yeah, this is, just to be clear too, by the way, this is not a situation where I'm like, I don't want Oladipo. I think he's a very good player. I think that he showed a lot of things this year that maybe he didn't
do
before.
Defensive season.
He did. He showed some things he didn't necessarily do as much before. He also showed that he's not doing quite as many things maybe as he did before in certain other areas. You know, his three-point rate shot up this year. His free throw rate went way down. His assist rate did as well. But he slashed his turnovers to a career low, which was nice. You know, so there are definitely things that I am interested in there, and I think he's a good player. The question there is more of resource allocation, because we're looking at having to pay Porzingis a max contract 2 years from now. And, you know, we'd at that point be dedicating something like almost 50% of the cap in the 2019-20 season, and Porzingis has two more years left plus the fifth year out. Yeah. So the 2020-21 season, we'd be dedicating, 2019-20 season, we'd be dedicating like almost 50% of the cap to Oladipo and Porzingis, and I don't know if that's the best use of our resources.
Is that math right? The cap's going to be what? Like one? It's going to be a little over 110 that year.
Something like that. He's making 21. KP is going to be making like close to 30 something.
Yeah, so I guess it'll be about 40,
by that point
42-ish percent. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. Yeah. It depends. It really depends on whether you think, because a lot of those numbers you named with Oladipo, three-point rate going up, free throw rate going down, turnovers going down, assists going down. I mean, it directly correlates to, well, he played with the dude who just broke the record for usage rate. And and I think he's a little bit of a passive personality, and I think that's part of what takes it on. It's part of why, like, personality-wise, he works with Russell Westbrook. I don't think he's going to be the guy who's ever going to complain you don't give me the ball enough, you don't give me enough shots. It's just, I don't think that's his personality, especially when he's playing next to Russell Westbrook, who I think he just adores playing next to Russell Westbrook. But I think if he's in another situation, I think he's a different type of player stylistically. And if he's a different player stylistically and his game opens up more, I think it's fair to argue that he's a better overall player. Now, I don't know if it's significantly better for the Thunder if he becomes that player. I think if he plays next to Russell Westbrook, he kind of has to be this player. But in another situation, like, oh, I don't know, with the Knicks, I think you can argue his game would blossom more, and I think he's still at the age and still at the point in his career where those are just things. You know, if he were 29, I'd be saying something differently, but he just turned 25. Like, I think these are still distinct possibilities for him.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough for sure. I definitely agree with that. I don't think he's hit his ceiling really close to it at all. I mean, he's only 24 still, you know. Or actually, I guess he just turned 25 last month. But, you know, I would say he's still got, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years of development left before he hits the ceiling. And it's – playing with Russ did some good things for him. You know, he took more threes. He made more threes than he had in any season of his career. That's something that's gone up every season of his career so far in terms of both taking and making more threes just overall and as, you know, in terms of his percentage. And that's something certainly that is good. You know, he obviously did not handle the ball quite as much because he was playing with Russ. That's something that I think he's more of an off guard anyway at this point. That's sort of become clear over the course of his career. You know, he's not necessarily a point guard type like, you know, Orlando ran that experiment with him during his first season. But he does a lot of interesting things. And I think if I could send you back a contract that I didn't want, that would make it much more palatable for me. And that's why I'm going to propose something to you here. I'm interested if you will take Carmelo Anthony and Joakim Noah, and I will take Enes Kanter's contract, I will take Oladipo, and I will take Abrines and Singler, as well as the number 21 pick.
No, I wouldn't do that. And my issue is, for all I know, this is a rental on Melo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got the ETO in 2018. So I have to operate when I'm giving up that much youth under the assumption, or I have to operate under the fact that there is a possibility that this is a one-year rental. And I'm giving away so much of my future for a one-year rental on a deal that'll make me top five in the West, maybe. And if that's the case, I'm losing some depth and I'm taking on a bad contract and sacrificing a bunch of bits for my future. And I'm taking on that Noah contract in order to do it. I think that would be too much, especially given that I'd be taking on that Noah's what, 4 for 72, right?
17. Yeah, 4 for 72.
Yeah, so I would take you coming off the hip surgery over Noah on 4 for 72 right now.
Hey, I come cheap.
I'll take the league minimum. How much do you like Abrines?
I like him. I like the fact that I get a nice amount of team control with him. It's not someone that is going to make or break a deal for me necessarily.
What other contracts other than Noah? What other contracts of yours do you not like?
I don't know if there's other contracts that I don't like other than his. You know, if I could figure out a way to clear more salary cap space by, you know, unloading Courtney Lee's long term contract and taking back something shorter, that's something that I might be interested in. You know, same thing theoretically with Lance Thomas.
Courtney Lee's
well.
A good Russell Westbrook player. That's something that I could talk about.
Yes, he is.
I think he's more valuable on a team like the Thunder than he is on a team like the Knicks.
I would agree with that.
So, I mean, because Courtney Lee's good. He plays defense. He doesn't use possession.
I think we talked about this at the trade deadline. We thought that the Thunder could have or should have or might have been interested in him.
Last year, when I think he was traded for like 2 second-round picks, I thought he was a guy that could have been good for them. I think this was before I was even a Thunder beat writer. We might have had that conversation like a year and a half ago at the trade deadline.
Maybe.
But he's a good Russell Westbrook two guard. So how?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, so what if I were taking back? What if I were taking back Courtney Lee instead of taking back Joakim Noah? And then the deal would be what? Abrines, Singler, Cantor, Oladipo, pick 21. Is that what you asked for?
It is. That's interesting.
I would still be wary about.
Yes, I would be somewhat wary as well because, you know, Courtney Lee is actually a positive value player, whereas Joakim Noah is obviously not. So it would help if I could get, you know, second round picks. I know you traded your second rounder this year, but you have, I believe, three in 2018.
Not really three.
There's a top 55 percentage.
Yeah, the Boston pick is top 55, and then it doesn't convey. It just extinguishes the next year. So it's possible because Boston could easily be one of the five best teams in the league next year.
That's true.
So
and
it's
you could take that.
It's very possible. I mean, that'll be a late pick no matter what.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out
but
how
that
much
Chicago pick is
I would actually save here. In this deal because, you know, Oladipo's deal obviously outpaces Courtney Lee's and runs for a year longer. Plus, I'd be taking on that Cantor contract, which is big next year. You know, Brinas is under team control for a while. Singler runs out. You've got two more years left plus a non-guaranteed third year.
Did you do the math on this, by the way?
This would not.
I haven't done the math on this.
I'm looking at it right now. I haven't done the math. I'm looking at it right now. It works in the trade machine, but I'm trying to figure out how much money I would save long term. It really doesn't look like I would save too much.
Has the trade machine adjusted Oladipo's extension? Got it.
No, it has not. So really, I would not be saving really any money next. I'd actually be paying significantly more money next year now that I'm looking at it. You know, because Carmelo and Courtney Lee are going to make, you know, like 37-ish million combined. Going to be paying more to that to Oladipo and Cantor alone.
Okay, what if we pull Singler? What if we pull Singler?
It's still something I'd still be paying more money out next year. The issue here is that, you know, I'm not saving much money. I'm not getting high value draft picks. You know, I'm taking a 21st pick, and the young player with potential I'm getting, you know, I like him a lot, but he's 25 and he's not on his rookie contract. So this is why I said that we were sort of an awkward fit when we first came on.
Okay, so what are you thinking?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm thinking maybe you can throw in an additional future first round pick. I know you owe out your 2018 and 2020s. I would be willing to take the 2022 as
well. What do you think of and for the purpose of this, by the way, I'm picking up the team option on Jeremy Grant for $1.5 million. What do you think of Jeremy Grant or Sabonis?
Yeah, I like Jeremy Grant. I think he's an interesting player. I am not thrilled about having to pay him after next season. Sabonis, I think, is interesting. I don't know that he's necessarily a good fit for us. You know, we have like I said, our offensive big man in Hernan Gomez. I think that would make an interesting three-man big man rotation with him, Hernan Gomez, and Kristaps. So I could be interested in that sense. And I like his skill set, but I'm concerned that I wouldn't be able to play Sabonis and Hernan Gomez together, and then all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, two guys that I could basically split the game between. And I'm going to want to use Kristaps at center, too. So it's tricky.
I mean, your value doesn't have to be him playing for you, though. Your value, if you like him as a player, your value could be flipping one of them.
That's true. For the purposes of this trade, I don't think we have a third team on the call right
well,
now.
Well, no. I don't mean turning it into a three-team trade. I mean, I guess we could. That would be cool if we did a three-team trade. If we just we anticipated this moment and we had like locked on 76ers come on with us.
Yeah, although they have quite a crowded front court right now.
Well, 76ers are just my go-to, need a third team, call the 76ers.
That's true. Pay them in second-round picks. Oh, no, sorry, Hinkie's not there.
Yeah, too bad.
No. Sabonis, I would certainly take in a deal, and I could, you know, like you said, spin him off somewhere else. You know, if I were to do that, though, I would not want to take back the Enes Kanter contract.
Okay, so what would this look like then? I mean, if you're going to do that, then if you're not going to take on a Kanter contract, I'm a little wary about giving up the draft pick.
Hmm.
We could turn it into second. I could give you the Chicago pick.
Yeah, no.
I bet that's going to be a high pick. That Chicago pick.
Their second rounder in 2018.
Yeah, it's going to be a high second rounder.
It is. I like this draft, and I want to get back into that first round. That number 21 pick is definitely something that I'm trying to get.
Well, you know, Jared, that's how. If we agree on this now, our hypothetical third team. I mean, the third team would have been, what would have been perfect is having the third team, and then Sabonis goes to a third team, and then like a first round pick goes to you.
Yeah, that's certainly true. That would be nice.
That would have been the move.
Yeah, in the interest of coming to a deal here, you know, theoretically, I could take on both. Sabonis and Kanter, I guess.
I don't think Sabonis is something to take on. I think Sabonis is going to be solid.
No, I think he's going to be solid too. But I meant, you know, in lieu of trying to add picks and picks and picks. Does this work? It works. Kanter, Oladipo, Abrinas, Sabonis, and 21. For Carmelo and Courtney Lee.
Kanter, Oladipo. That's in 21, giving up 21 too there is a lot. Giving up 21 there, that's a lot. That's a lot of young talent for a potential rental in Courtney Lee. And a rental who might not be as good next year as he was this year because he wasn't as good last year as he was this year and so on and so forth.
That's true. You know, I suppose you could counter to that. I could take on maybe McDermott rather than Abrinas.
That I'd be more amenable to. Or I could get or you could just include Kristaps and call it a day.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. The thing here, too, is I need some guards, man. Adding all of these big guys, this very big man-heavy roster here. And I'm not necessarily trying to take Samaje Christian off your hands.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I wouldn't really feel differently about all of this if you did. That's a lot of young talent to give up for Melo. It's a lot.
It's definitely a lot. I understand that for sure.
So I would not really feel comfortable including 21, or maybe we could just remove Abrinas altogether.
No, I took Abrinas out already. Said McDermott.
No, I mean we could just remove that piece altogether. Or if you want to,
it'd be Kanter, Oladipo, Sabonis, 21 for Carmelo and Courtney Lee.
What if I?
And Kanter would basically just be here to make the money work. Is there a way we can make the money work without Kanter?
Let's see. There'd be 37-ish million coming over next year. I'm doing this in my head. 38 million-ish coming over from you next year. I mean, the money pretty much works because you're going to be under the cap.
Yeah, the money has to work on your
end. Work on my end, right. Yeah. Sorry, I zoned out. I mean, it's tough without Kanter because there are all these. I mean, Oladipo would bring you up to 21.
And Sabonis brings it to 23.5. Does that get us close enough, actually? What is that to be, 150% now? Or 125%?
125.
125
plus 100K.
37 divided by 23.5.
Yeah, you calculator out. Yeah, 37
divided by 23.5.
Using a calculator
on
your computer.
I'm using it on my laptop. So that's 157%.
What if we throw Singler in? What if we put Singler back in?
So like 23.5 plus like 5, so like 28.5. And that's about 130%. If it's Oladipo, Sabonis, and Singler.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty close. It is.
I mean, we can include.
I know he's your best friend, but I'm wondering if Josh Huestis gets it over the top.
If I trade Josh Huestis on this thing, people are going to be. Everyone is going to tweet at him telling him that I traded him.
Jeremy Grant gets it over the top.
I like Jeremy Grant. What about Samaje Christian? You want the guard, and it's for the money, and he's non-guaranteed. You can release him if you want to.
It doesn't get the money there.
Oh, it doesn't? 1.3 doesn't, but 1.5 does?
Or actually, yeah, that might.
Christian's 1.3 for next year, and he guarantees on July 7th. So if we make the deal on July 1, then you can waive him and cost you nothing if you want.
Singler is 4.67. Then Christian is 1.31.
Math on a podcast is so entertaining.
Sabonis is 2.55 divided by 37. Whoops. It actually does not get us there with Christian.
How close does it get us there?
Like 0.3%.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it would have to be. It actually couldn't be Huestis either. It would have to be Jeremy Grant.
Wait, 0.3% off, and Huestis doesn't. Make
oh no,
Huestis
actually
like that would
make it work. Huestis would make it work, but I know you can't trade him. So no, yeah, it would have to be Jeremy Grant.
I gotta include Huestis. All right, bye, Josh. two time Locked On Thunder. He can go on Locked On Knicks now. He's a two-time Locked On Thunder guest.
I would I'd be very happy to be friends with him. So this would be then Oladipo, Singler, Sabonis, Huestis, and 21 for Carmelo and Courtney Lee.
Oladipo, Singler, Sabonis, Huestis, 21 for Melo and Courtney Lee. Yeah, I think.
It's not my favorite
deal I've made. I can deal with that. I honestly think it's like, you're right that these two deals are not the most compatible. These two teams are not the most compatible. But I think that's the fairest deal that we can work out.
Yeah, you know, I do save a little bit of...
What's the discrepancy in cash there?
Over the long term?
Just for 2017-18.
That is something that I'm going to have to break out the calculator.
Because the reason why I'm curious is because the Thunder are about $10 million away from the luxury tax. And, you know, I'm going to pretend that Clay Bennett has given me the okay to go into the luxury tax. He's decided that he wants to be Steve Ballmer. And he must have just – he's Steve
so
Ballmer.
I'm taking in around $29.7 million. And I would be sending you, let's see, this actually, now that I look at the exact numbers for Carmelo and Courtney Lee, is actually not going to work, I don't think. I'm taking in 29.7.
And then this is the suspense of Jared Dugan.
Yeah, it does not work. We're
How
about 3%. We're about 3% off.
That's a killer.
Yeah.
That's a killer. What if we just also include Christian? And then you can waive him if you don't want him.
So let's see.
It's an extra 1.3, and that could get in there.
Yeah, that actually does make it work.
You want to do that?
Sure. In the interest of getting a deal done here.
We are operating under the premise of doing that. And that saves me a little bit under the luxury tax, too. So that
we're operating under the premise that we – the problem here is that we're operating under the premise that we have to come to an agreement by the end of the podcast.
Exactly. For entertainment's sake. Yeah, I mean, look, it's not my favorite deal ever. I don't love the mellow fit, but I think if they're going to trade, if you force a premise of having to trade for mellow, I think that's kind of the fairest. And honestly, I'm okay with holding on to Canner under the situation. Like I'm fine with it. If you're trading for mellow, you're in a make the team as good as you possibly can in 2017-18. Like you're in that mode of making it as good as you possibly can right now. Victor Oladipo is a good player, and I think Victor Oladipo I'd rather have for the next 5 years, the next 4 years length of his deal than Carmelo Anthony for the next one or two. But if you're under that premise of make the team as good as you possibly can in 2017, then I think Melo and Lee could be pieces that could help. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how Melo and Russell Westbrook would play next to each other.
Yeah, and I'm as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go shop Oladipo and Sabonis for some more picks and future assets and whatnot.
There you go. And then, so what's my starting lineup here? So I got Westbrook, Courtney Lee, Carmelo. I could start. I guess I could run lineups with Abrines at the two, Lee at the three, Melo at the four, but that wouldn't.
You could.
I wouldn't start with that.
I would imagine you'd start Nick Collison, right?
No, I'd start Jeremy Grant. Exactly. Nick Collison's a free agent. I don't even know if he's coming back.
He's coming back. Get out of here.
Well, you know, I'm approaching luxury tax now. I might want to sign the cheapest possible veteran minimum guy. Who knows?
He'll be there forever. he'll take the minimum, and he'll like it.
Because Melo is technically – I think I would trick Melo into being the four. And start Jeremy Grant at the three, and Jeremy Grant at the four, and just kind of have them as interchangeable guys.
That would be a good move. As far as my side goes, I got a couple of interesting players with some upside. I shaved a little bit of salary cap money, and I got an extra first round pick. You know, I accomplished all my goals. You know, I didn't necessarily get guys with quite as high a ceiling as I might have liked, but I got some interesting talent there, and I think you throw them into a lineup, whoever I draft at number eight, alongside Oladipo, Kristaps, and Hernan Gomez in my starting lineup. I can bring Sabonis as my, third big man off the bench. I can mothball Joakim Noah and never play him again. I'll try to bring back Justin Holiday, even though it seems like he's going to go sign somewhere with his brother. And with all four of my picks now in the draft, I would imagine I'm going to be taking guards.
And most importantly, what is absolutely most importantly, finally got that clubhouse cancer Josh Eustace off my hands.
Yeah, and I made a new best friend.
He'll come on
just,
your podcast.
Just trashing on Fred Katz all day.
There you go. You guys can do a Locked On Knicks, and you can trash on me. I'm sure he'll love
and, that. And I'll ask questions to myself, just like you, and maybe you can answer them. But yeah. Anyway, this was fun. I'm glad you got me to agree to do this. I do want to give a quick note before we sign off here, just to the Locked On Knicks listeners, to not necessarily expect regular podcasts anytime soon. This is sort of a one shot deal because Fred, bothered me into doing it and agreed to do everything. I don't know that I could physically or mentally do much more. As it is, I'm like dripping sweat in my bed here from keeping myself sitting up. Anyway, I'm glad you did convince me to do it.
I can't believe we made it through the whole podcast and we didn't mention Aaron Judge.
All rise.
This is the longest conversation I've had with another Yankees fan over the last 2 months. In which Aaron Judge hasn't come up.
Let me ask you this. Who's a bigger star in New York right now, Aaron Judge or Kristaps? I mean, I think it's Aaron Judge.
Well, physically?
Well, physically, Kristaps is taller.
And Judge probably weighs more. Yeah. Judge is 280.
Yeah.
He's like a solid 280. I don't. Kristaps isn't 280. Kristaps is like 50 pounds lighter than that.
Yeah, Kristaps is like 2.
Yeah, Kristaps is a stick. Who's a bigger star?
He's
in
much
New York?
Bigger now, obviously, than him.
Right now, it's Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he's listed at 240.
Yeah. So right now it's Aaron Judge is 40 pounds heavier than him. Right now it's Aaron Judge because he's having his own version of Lynn Sanity right now.
He's also like right now because Mike Trout is hurt. He's the best player in baseball.
He's the MVP.
Yeah. I think if they voted today, he would probably win unanimously.
He's on pace to become the first 11-win player since Barry Bonds in 2002.
Yeah, he's leading the AL in runs, homers, walks, batting average, and total bases. And until like 2 days ago, he had the triple crown.
Yeah, is he not leading in hitting anymore?
No, he's not leading in RBI anymore.
Yeah, and he will be leading in slugging real soon, right? He's only behind Trout because Trout doesn't qualify. Or Trout still is qualifying, but
Trout
will be, you know, he won't be qualifying because he's hurt right now for a little bit. So in a little bit, he's going to be leading in slugging, even though his slugging will be lower than Trout's.
The craziest part is he was horrible last year.
He struck out in half his at-bats. He struck out 42 times.
He had 84 at-bats and struck out 42 times.
It's amazing. And he also was not, like, close to the Yankees' top prospect. He wasn't even a top 50 prospect. On any prospect ranking, MLB.com, right. Baseball Perspectives, Baseball America, no one had him as a top 50 prospect.
He'd been on the top 100 list for 3 years in a row, but I think he'd been moving down it, if I'm remembering correctly.
You are.
And it was like as recently as spring training, Greg Bird was like the consensus, you know, best closest hitter to the major leagues for the Yankees. Like, you know, guys like Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, who are farther away, you know, maybe considered higher ceiling. But, like, Greg Bird was, first of all, he basically did in spring training what Judge is doing in the regular season with just, like, a million homers and batting 9,000. And he came up 2 years ago and was awesome before I think he tore his shoulder last year. And now just Judge is, like, I mean, he's not human.
It's great. There's so much fun. I stayed up till 2 a.m. to watch that game against the Angels last night, which was tremendously frustrating watching. How in 2017, I love that we're just talking about the Yankees right now, but how, I guess it's they're Knicks listeners, so there's probably a nice overlap on this one. But how is it in 2017 that there are smart managers? Like, Girardi is a good manager. If you poll people who are baseball fans, they will tell you Girardi is a good manager. But how is it that in 2017, like, even smart managers still save their closers for the save situation when they're on the road? Yeah.
His thing is all about the binder and the overmanaging the bullpen. But then I saw a piece last year that said, like, he had added, like, the most war to his team with his managing of the bullpen. So, I don't know. Maybe he knows what he's doing. Who cares?
But it's, like, different. It's different this year.
Honestly,
of Betances this year is different. Betances is barely pitching this year, and the criticism in the past was often that he was overusing Betances, and now he's thrown 20 innings this year, and he's having to put him in to face the final batters in games because he's not using him, and it's just last night killed me. I'm there, like, I want to scream at the TV watching Jonathan Holder pitch, being like, what is going on? Watching Chasen Shreve throw 40 pitches in an extra inning game. They put in Betances. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I honestly, before this season started, I basically just said all I wanted from the whole season. I didn't care. Like, they could go 0-162, and all I wanted was for Judge, Sanchez, and Bird to combine for 80 homers, and it would be, like, the best season possible. And they're going to do it. Like, Judge has 22 himself already. Gary, I think, is up in the teens now, and Bird, like, basically hasn't even played, but Judge and Sanchez might do it by themselves.
Bird is going to be, like, the Tommy Aaron of that trivia question. That's like, you know, the two brothers who have the record for most career home runs are Hank and Tommy Aaron, and Tommy Aaron has, like, 6 or 8.
That's true.
And Hank has 755. So
yeah, Gary's at 10 in 36 games. So you know, not quite as torrid a pace as last year, but he's heating up, that dude. So
I mean, that's an over 30 home run pace.
Yeah. So plus, 40, I think it's like
pace. If he plays, if he's healthy,
he's got, I don't know what it is, like 5 or 6 in the last 7 or 8 games, 10 games.
Yeah, he's been crushing the ball. That game where Judge hit it 495, he hit one that was 450. And, like, that was a bloop by the end of the game because of what Judge does.
They're just great. Yeah, I would talk about the two of them all day.
Like, they're so fun. The whole team is so fun. Severino's fun.
It's going to be hilarious when the top four of the lineup goes, like, Torres, Sanchez, Judge, Frazier. Like, it's going to be so funny. And that's like if they don't sign Machado and Bryce Harper in 2 years.
That's great. My Oklahoma listeners are so tuned out at this point.
We're
talking about the Yankees, and we're not even talking about that. We haven't even mentioned their cleanup hitter from the only guy on the team from Oklahoma. Where Matt Holliday is from Stillwater, Oklahoma, by the way.
I did not know he was from Oklahoma.
I think he went to OSU, too. He's from Stillwater, and I think he actually went to OSU as well. So he's a...
That's interesting.
Matt Holliday wears his jersey the same way that, like, kind of douchey guy at the club wears his shirt, where you're like, dude, button the extra button. That's how Matt Holliday actually wears a baseball jersey while he's playing.
He could do whatever he wants if he keeps hitting like he is.
He's good. He's really good.
He's just been good for a long time. All right, I'm about all talked out, and yeah. I need to like
let's do
get
it.
Myself up and move around.
I
a
do
bit.
Want. I do just want one quick programming note before we go for my Locked On Thunder listeners. I promise no Yankees talk next week, but I am going to Monday. I've been doing Tuesday, Thursday for about a month now, 5 weeks, whatever it's been. I'm going to Monday, Wednesday, Friday starting next week. So I will be back not Tuesday, but on Monday next week with a draft theme podcast, and then Wednesday I'll be doing draft theme podcast, and then Friday I'll be doing one wrapping up the draft as well. Jared, anything to plug? Twitter, podcasts, writing, anything? I guess not podcasts, but are you writing anything? Twitter, anything before we go?
Yeah, you know, I'm still, typing out dumb tweets, JADubin5, and my work is still at the same place as it's always been. As far as podcasts go, I just don't know. I know David's still been looking into possibly bringing on a temporary and or replacement host. That's something that may or may not happen, but I'm not sure. And I just don't know if or when I'll be back on this podcast. This is something that we did because basically I said I was going to do it before I got my surgery. And since like a couple days after you've been asking me to do it, I finally agreed. There will be, we're doing the Locked On Podcast Network mock draft, and I made the Knicks pick for that. Keep an eye out for the Locked On NBA feed to hear my explanation of who the Knicks picked at number 8 and why.
Yes, and you can listen to that whole thing, by the way. The Thunder pick is coming out Monday, and that's every single day now. So you can check out, download Locked On NBA, and you can get the whole mock draft. It's really cool, I think, what we're doing. So you can should have plugged that at the top of the show, but oh well. It's really cool what we're doing there, so I'm excited about that. You can find me on Twitter, at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Check out my work on Thunder Road. That's my blog on normantranscript.com, normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. That's it for today. I'm back Monday. Jared's back N/A.
N/A.
N/A. So for till next time, Locked On Thunder, Locked On Knicks, or locking up.